We'll go ahead and call the Public Safety Committee potential quorum of the council to order for Tuesday, December 3rd, 2024 at 6:30 p.m. Tonight we have Councilor Washburn, Councilor Edwards, Councilor Olson, Councilor Hancock here, along with Deputy Chief Markell, Chief Waddell. We also have Sergeant Fernando Serrano that will be here in just a minute. And we have Officer Tyler, Marler here. I almost said Markell. Tyler Marler here. And so if you guys want to add anything or whatever, just so that on the recording everybody knows who's here and who's talking. All right. Any changes to the agenda?
No, ma'am.
All right. Then we can go to public comments for items not listed on the agenda. Anybody online? I think it's #6.
Or wave your hand. Nope.
Or
that's just us.
All right. Then we will move to departmental updates. Do you need that?
What was that?
Do you need that?
Yeah, probably. So in front of you, everybody has received the department updates. A couple of things that are not on there already is that we extended a conditional offer to a lateral police officer. Spent several years in Florence PD as an officer and then moved to Cook County. So still has to accept the conditional offer and then pass the background and psych exam. But we're excited to make an offer for a lateral. We'll see if it works out and if we can get him on board within the next month or two. So we're trying to expedite the process, which, you know, with the holidays around us, it's just going to be a little bit more difficult probably than we had hoped. But the 6th of January, we do interviews for entry-level officers. So we have 5 applicants left in there. We had I don't know how many we took, like 12. We took like 12 or 14 to oral board panel after they had already went through the written test. So we're down to kind of like the last 5 that we're going to take to a command interview with the deputy chief and myself on the 6th, and we'll see if we can get one more out of there. So if we were successful finding these applicants and getting them on board, then that would be fully staffed at 11 sworn at that point. Other things that are going on that aren't listed here. I don't think I got anything other new in there. Do you guys have any questions on the department updates and those kind of things? Any questions that you might have? See, I can breeze through that. Well, that's all I got for department update then.
All right. We'll move to the department organizational change.
So this is just really time for us to have a discussion about this. I don't know how to bring this to you and then to bring it to council. Since I became chief of police, there's always been in my mind that we would reorganize the police department at some point. There's some directions that need to be coming from the Public Safety Committee and recommendations and conversations and how to point us in the right direction. The things that are sitting in front of you are some added on things just for your reference, some information to look at, to mull over, and then maybe somehow we figure out a way to have discussions at council on giving the police department some directions on what we need to do when it comes to organizational change, which includes the operational of the jail, our communication center, how many staff we have, what kind of staff, you know, resources we want to allocate for what reasons. So Part of the discussion that I need some direction from you is what kind of service do you want from the Junction City Police Department? When I took this job, you know, I kind of had the idea that what I was used to is what I was going to instill and try and make the best police department that we have here. So sometimes what my vision is not the same as your vision, and what the vision of the community is. And so it's an opportunity for us to have conversations, open, honest conversations about where our department's headed, where it currently sits, where it was in the past. You know, I don't really want to go too far into the past, but one of the things that I wanted to correct is that several times I've said that the jail was totally closed. It's been operated on and off sporadically over the last couple of years, especially from COVID. COVID pretty much closed it for a long time, with most jails, and it had restrictions and stuff. He needs one, and then I need one. And then Eric probably doesn't have one. So really, I guess the best way to approach this is that we need to have a discussion about the jail, I guess, and then I have some ideas depending on where we think we're going to go on that. I have things that are in my mind and in front of paper on you that we could talk about and discuss. So I don't know how to start this conversation other than that.
Gives us options. What are your options? What are you looking at?
Okay, so the couple things that are in front of you, that I kind of threw this piece of paper together. It's kind of talks at the top of it. It says vision and mission statement. I've been working on a 5-year vision plan or a strategic plan. And so the vision statement, the mission statement, level of service stuff, that's all kind of still in draft mode. It's been stuff that I've been working on. So the way I kind of see is that there's several options. Status quo is that we work to get the jail open, we get our staff trained, we come up with solutions to get that done. So that's kind of status quo, because that's what we've been doing since I got here, is trying to get our staff to where we start, communication staff up and running, so we can run a 24-hour operations. We've been putting in the works to try and get in some of our officers into a dual certification class, which is coming up in January. So we were able to get two people into that. So that's still coming up. So status quo is still just marching forward. Probably a good estimate is that we would to operate the jail. We're still quite a ways away out if we're going to do that, which is fine. But that's a direction that I need to have in order to do that. If we don't do that, the other options are that I can see is that we can continue doing 12-hour dispatching, keep our staff currently in place, not look to hire new dispatchers, maybe reallocating some of those funds into an officer position or a detective position or some other way to get some extra bodies. Also in front of you is a kind of a dream that I'm trying to get to would be 15 sworn officers. 15 sworn officers gives us two officers on at any given time, which in the current environment would be amazing, because we're losing, at least for temporarily, we're probably going to lose county, who's going to go to 20 hours operations probably in January. So our officers up there at night, they don't have Benton County nearby, they don't have even Coburg. Lynn County, they won't have any deputies. OSP's not running anybody after 2:00. So it's really Eugene and our one officer that works in the middle of the night. And I think that's unacceptable for safety and service for our community. So the goal in my mind is to get to 15 sworn. And just that's a big lift. That's going from 11 to 15. One, it's good. Even if we're totally like, hey, if everybody in this room is on board, council's on board, it will take us a little while to get there. You've seen how long it's taken us to hire what we've hired. And so that would require us to, you know, we could do the 12-hour dispatch, we could do county. I don't think they prefer to do, have a 12-hour contract with us, but I think they can do it. But our communication center's gonna take some funds to fix. I don't know, I don't have that estimate yet. We did have somebody out at our tower looking at our tower equipment, and some of that equipment out there is 30 years old. It needs to, probably needs to be replaced when it's put together by duct tape and bathing wire. But it's working. And so, but eventually there's gonna be some need to upgrade some of that equipment. So the other option would be, one of the other options would be that we close down our communication center. We use the bulk of that funds, which is about $660,000, to fund some positions to man our front counters. Nobody loses their jobs. So it's not like we're cutting staff. The staff maybe have to take different assignments. There's things in the department that we need, we've always needed. It doesn't change that our need is there today, whether we do this or not. Our UCR reporting, which is required of us, isn't getting done now. We had a contract in place, but the lady that was doing it hasn't contacted us in months and hasn't done the job that we contracted her to do. So at some point, somebody here in the police department will have to pick that responsibility up. And that's where I was kind of hoping sometime to have some kind of records, either or a dispatch lead or a dispatch supervisor to pick up some of that slack. That's probably, I think she was billing us somewhere around $20 hours a month. So that some police have to pick up the 20 hours a month of work that we would just need to have in the police department. So that would also, you know, probably get us two or three officers. You know, so we would put us up to 14-ish, maybe. So we're really close to getting to that kind of golden 15. And then we wouldn't have to replace the equipment that we have both in our dispatch center, our console, the money that was set aside for our CAD, the $200,000 for a CAD upgrade, RMS upgrade, all that could be allocated to run licenses through the county for all those software. But we also found out recently that to run a new CAD, we would need new computers. And so there might be an opportunity to be able to do that kind of upgrade at the same time. Those funds, that's really up to you guys, how that funds are going to be reallocated, if we do reallocate them at all. And then, kind of, that's three options. I kind of listed some options that kind of had some issues that were with them. So I think that's kind of the options.
I get something.
Yeah.
So I'm probably one of the only last people that think a jail is necessary, but I'm the feeling like that's just ripped out of my feet, and that's a dead subject, to be honest with you. And whether it's, I mean, I got a lot of frustrations with a lot of different people about it, but it's what it is. To me, it seems like it's an impasse to get there. I don't see, sounds like a lot of money. You know, when you let a program go and you don't maintain it, it costs a lot of money to get back, and that's what happened. I'm not gonna dredge the past up, but that's the problem. So if you're not gonna have a jail, What service, when we don't have 24/7 dispatch now, and I'm not for cutting people or getting rid of jobs, that's the last thing I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But what's best for Junction City is, what service changes to your officers or to the person calling 911 when it gets rerouted to the county versus here?
Well, it's part of it's, like you said, you already mentioned, it's already being done 12 hours during the day. So really what I would expect is that service-wise, what I'm hoping to do is get to where we have two officers on at any given time. So the service should be better. When you talk about...
I mean, just from the communication standpoint. What's the difference between a 911 call going to right here versus a 911 call going to Eugene?
So our 911 calls go to Central Lane, which is Eugene's Central, and they route that call to us now. Okay. Instead of routing it to us, they would route it to Lane County. Lane County would dispatch it instead of our dispatchers dispatching.
So just for the simplest person, what if I call 911, go to Eugene, at 2 a.m. versus 10 a.m., what's the difference in somebody hearing it patrolling, you're out on the street or somebody's on the street, and they hear it, what's the difference?
None.
Okay.
There's currently no difference.
So to the resident, the taxpayer of Junction City, there's no negative effects on how that call gets sent.
No, not how that call gets routed, yeah.
But for 12 hours a day, it costs us $600,000 a year to say that we have our own dispatch. That is not part of helping the jail, which is kind of what, it was kind of a bundled deal. It has been for years. So to me, it seems like I think if you ask the taxpayer of Junction City, would you rather have three or four more police cars driving around and having more coverage? Because the communication is going to be the same either way. In fact, it may be better because now you got money to improve your radios. All right. So and that's $600,000 one year. You get it again next year and the next year. So if you feel like, and I would like you to come back and say, and it doesn't have to be tonight, the jail is such a monumental task, I don't know how we're going to get there. And if that's the decision that the department thinks is it, then I think you should look at reorganizing that whole communication side of it and funding the department even better and having more support out on the street. I think that's what's best for the community.
Well, I'm in agreement with you, but I also want to, you know, there is a little bit of communication that we lose by not having our own dispatchers, and that's the personal touch that our dispatchers provide our community. That's something that we would hope to address by having a front office staff that would be able to answer the office hour phones to provide that service, the walk-in service that they're currently getting. I mean, clearly, in your packet is a pipe dream of our master plan, which doesn't include expanding our lobby and having a place that's welcoming for people to come in and to the police department. But we do lose a little bit of personal touch, and our dispatchers are amazing, and so they do.
Yeah, and I'm not taking anything away from them at all. That's not my intention at all.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that was your intention. I just putting it out there because I wanted to be transparent as much as I possibly can. And also, the other thing that we would have to work out is, and some of the things that would better serve our community is to be able to tell them, like you said, that we have multiple officers on at any given time. So when our officer takes someone to jail, there's still someone in town keeping them safe. And then, so it's part of explaining the differences. Will our lobby be open at 7 p.m.? Probably not. And so you have some minor impact to people that have to, be more office hours. I would love to be able to put any office staff on 10 so that they can overlap a couple hours. And so that people that who are working a 9-to-5 job could get off work, still come to the police department, get a copy of a report, or file a report. They don't have to miss time at work. It's not our job to try and inconvenience people that are trying to get service from us. So, my personal opinion is I think this is the best thing for the police department. But I think the task of keeping the jail open or reopening it, or however you want to say that we're doing, is a huge lift for the police department and for the city and for the taxpayers
And not some pie in the sky number, but like what's a real number of what, from what you've seen, of money it's going to take to get the jail up to speed financially, just to fix all the little things that they say are wrong.
Well, it also depends on which part of those reports that you're looking at. I mean, if you're looking at that we have to bring it up to ADA compliant standards, it's a whole redesign of our jail. And that could be a million or two, and then we have to do staff. Most of the issue becomes with our operational expenses, you know, trying to figure out how to provide medical, mental health, dental, a law library that's sufficient for them. The things that we have some of those things in place, but you know, some things that our dispatchers were covering, so we'd have to figure out. You know, having two officers on would alleviate maybe some of the liabilities, because we would end up being able to at least break one of them away every hour to check on people that are in custody and those kind of things. But you know, it all depends on if the facilities has to be reworked, then that's a big, huge number. If we can somehow remodel our facilities and not have to make them ADA compliant, then we're still looking at the operational expenses rather than the facility, the hard expenses. So I don't have an answer for you, because it's just, you know, what I really would need is to be able to start digging into some of these questions that I'm sure you all have. It says we need to know what the police department, or at least I need to know what direction I'm going. Because right now I'm going in multiple directions trying to make sure.
Well, and it just needs to come to rest. I mean, a decision needs to be made, and instead of we thinking is happening, and it's, some people think that, well, there's no way in hell it's going to happen, we're not trying, or, you know, whatever it is, it just needs to, the conversation needs to come to an end, whatever that is. But, I mean, if you on the council know the budget better than I do, is there a million or two sitting there to throw into improving the jail? Okay, well, that's kind of part of the answer then, right? And I hate this discussion, because before I even took this job, I told you my opinion on the jail, and I will still say that it's the right thing, but if we can't do it, we can't do it.
You know, and I don't know if that there's any will in the city, and you as representatives of the community, you know, is going out for a bond, or but the problem with the bond is you'd have to, most places that go for a bond, they don't follow it up with an operational levy as well. And so having to be able to do that, I mean, and that would be one of those things that could possibly be done.
I've tracked public safety measures, and the fire ones get it every time, and the police never do, so, or almost never do.
Well, the trick is to put yourself onto a fire levy and to get into one of the bonds and see if they can go out and do the public for us.
And I'm just speaking for myself. I mean, everybody has their opinion, but that's just how I see it. I wanted to hear from somebody. So.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like to start by touching on Section 27, Sub 5, Sub G.
Sorry, what was that?
I said I'd like to start by touching on Section 27, Sub 5, Sub G. Does that sound police enough?
I can't hear you, sir.
You can't? Okay, so let's talk about Section 27, Sub 5, Sub G.
Of what?
It says the city administrator shall organize and reorganize the departmental structure of the city government as directed by the council.
Yeah.
So that's the charter. So the first lead-in was, you know, how do we get things done and how does it work? Well, really, that's the piece that's missing from this. Mm-hmm. Because I think the best approach, and I'll tell you how I feel, not that it matters, the best approach is that you and Jason sit down and you formulate what you believe is very best for this city and the best service that you can provide. And then that comes forward to us instead of several options for us, because I don't want to pick one. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that I'm probably the last to let go of the jail, right? Because I know what that jail looks like when it's running properly. And I know what it does for our community. So I've been one of the main holdouts here. And that's because I know that's important to public safety. And I know that you didn't get to experience that. And so am I personally willing to let go of the jail? Yes. If there's some other option that comes forward that increases the safety of the community. So if we lose the jail and we lose the safety that the jail brings, but we're increasing here in terms of number of patrol officers who are out answering calls and going to people's homes and because I want to be the exception, right? I actually want to be a safe community. A community that knows its police officers and has contact with police officers and has confidence and faith in those officers, because we're a small city and that's what we want. And so you said, what are you looking for? That's what I'm looking for. I don't want thieves on porches, and I don't want Amazon boxes missing. I don't want people feeling unsafe walking down sidewalks, and I don't want them to be unsafe walking down the sidewalks. And so if there's an offsetting method of we lose the jail because we don't have the $2 million, you're right, and because, yeah, erosion took place, right? And we are responsible for the things we're assigned to. And the Herculean effort that it would take to reopen the jail probably is 5 years down the road. And so that does nothing for the immediate safety of the community. And so I'm willing to change if I have to, right? Mm-hmm. And accept the fact that perhaps there's just no way to bring that jail back right now. But the offsetting goal then would be to increase the number of patrol officers, because obviously we needed 12 anyway. We know we're short one. We're at 11, and we really should be 12. And I can see that just from your numbers. But we knew that last year when we talked, that we really need 12 police officers. So basically the way that I see forward is that you and we direct the city administrator to look at the reorganization and bring that proposal forward with you and Jason, and discuss that with us, as we believe this is the best service we can provide, this is the best way that we can protect the community, and then we listen to that. I know I don't want to sit here and pick, you know, because I know there's pros and cons to everything. I don't want to see anybody leave, and I like having our own dispatch center. And I like that personal touch. But I'll tell you what, if we have to lose the dispatch center, if that's what you and Jason decide, then that's made up when the officers make contact with the complainants, right? Or even not even having a complaint, just making contacts out in the community with people and being visible and being approachable. And anytime they get a call, no matter what that call is, they go to that call and they make contact with somebody, and that's a positive contact. You're not going to lose by not having the dispatch center then. Not that I'm a proponent of not having the dispatch center. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you as we adjust here, then there needs to be an adjustment over here, right? So if we adjust to not having a dispatch center, then the officers come up in numbers and their contact with the public has to go up. So that's my 2 cents worth.
I agree with both these gentlemen. I do think a jail is important to the community. However, the problem comes down to is you've been hamstringed by leadership before you. And when you're in the process of rebuilding something that has four or five different heads on it, the fewer heads you can get, the better off you're going to be in the short term. And just like what Springfield did at Springfield for, what, 20 years, 30 years, worked on their community, getting their officers out, doing the things that the community wanted, everything else. And then when they finally put their police station and added a jail and everything else like that, the community supported them and got that going through. And that could happen here. It's just going to be a little bit before we do that. And I think that you need to reorganize the department, focus on the primary needs, what we need to get done, which is getting our officers out there, getting more officers out there, and making contact with our community and having our community feel safe with what they have. Just make sure everybody knows that they're building the blocks for everything 5, 10, 15 years down the road. So that one bad contact can come back and haunt you because you did something wrong. But you do 10 good contacts, you're going to get some more support and people voting for things. And might get a bond through. So we might not be here when that happens.
Right.
But
you're right.
You know, those are the ways that you have to build this up. So Junction City is going to keep on getting bigger. Right. I mean, we're all the way down to what, Meadowview now? They're going to start, you know, all that's going to start getting built here soon. So we're going to get bigger. We're going to have some more stuff. So.
Good.
I just don't see where we have the money to do the jail. I really don't. You know, I hate to see it go, but I agree with what everybody else is saying. I think if we bring in more officers, that's going to help. And I'm for officer safety, and that's a big thing for me. And you got one guy on by himself, that's not good. Not good at all. I'd rather see more officers in the evening. You know, that type of deal.
Eric, your thoughts? You've been here a long, you've kind of seen, you've seen this for a while.
Yeah, the jail was at its peak. I mean, it was very beneficial. So, like in the case where I helped Ella Schwab, she would have gone to jail before, and she would have stayed till Thursday, and didn't see the judge. So, yeah, I mean, I think when we first started talking about the jail stuff, and you see us look at the CIS report, you just ask, aren't they going to keep moving that carrot? So even if we dumped all this money into it, I think that carrot is just going to move again, because, you know, 1 year, the telemed worked, and then the next year it didn't. So it's like, hey, we did that. We reached out. We did all those contacts to set that up. So what's going to be the next year? Yeah, I mean, I've seen it both ways. It was, I mean, it sucked, really, when it was closed for COVID. Everybody kind of just ran wherever they wanted to. But yeah, the cost-wise at this point, we can't even put a number on it, because what's it going to cost for medical staff? What's it going to cost for dental and stuff? But, I know it's a lot more than it used to be.
So, obviously, I don't want to lose the jail, but I understand. You know, like, it's going to take a lot to fix it, and if the money's not there, it's not going to get fixed. So something's got to give, which is going to be the jail. It has been a benefit to this community when it was used properly. We had too long of it not being used properly, and which I think has got us in this hole, which we're back on track doing the right things. So... but yeah, everything does come at a price. I want to see it go, but again, you know, there's only so much you can do with what you've got. I do want to see more officers on the road and stuff, but that comes at a cost. We lose our dispatch. And I know, and I say it every time dispatch gets brought up, that how much that benefited us, and I can't even look when your incident happened, Todd. And I think just what our department did when that happened, Eric, you were here. I get like all emotional. Sorry. So I can't look at you, but just like what we were able to do when that happened, we were helping cover the county. I mean, we were taking on everything that was not involving where you were to help out, and we partnered with Florence, and we were operating like all the priority calls. We had all of our officers, everybody showed up and came out and worked, and we did everything that we could that night to so that everybody could focus on being down there with you. And so I'm afraid to lose that, because I'm scared of something like that happening again. And I wish we could find a way, but I know it's going to come at a cost. Do we not get the officers that we need to have the double coverage? Do we have to pay a ton of money to get our equipment back up and running better than what it is? Because right now, there's been no preventative maintenance on anything for years at this place, which is shame on administration, previous administration and stuff. But you know, our towers are we don't even know, like, how they're still standing and operating, just fingers crossed and good luck at this point, which that's a disservice. It's a disservice to the community. It's a disservice to the officers and everybody that are out there, because they should have what they need to do their job safely. So it all just comes at a price. And it really, I think, is going to come down to getting together with city administrator and figuring out what can we do. And I'll tell you right now, it's pretty obvious when you look at the budget that we have gone backwards for several years. And that I think we need to get to the bottom of too and figure that out. But we have gone backwards. The city is continuing to grow, and the revenue that's coming in, for some reason, the money's just not there. So we got to figure some stuff out too. But, you know, we just need to prioritize what's important. And that's why I want everybody's say in this and their thoughts, because I think it's going to help make the right decisions. I wish the other two were still here, but, you know, because I just like everybody's feelings on how they feel about things. If I've got officers, like Officer Marler sitting here saying, no, we need more officers on the street. He's the one out working the street. So, like, that means a lot hearing that from him. You know, if Sergeant Serrano was sitting here saying, hey, I'm also doing admin stuff, but I'm having to cover a lot of calls and I'm having to do all these other things, and I'm not able to get my duties done because we need more officers on the street. That goes a long ways. We just need to, figure out, prioritize what we need and what we really want and how it's going to, you know, benefit not only the department but the community, and then figure out how we're going to make that work. That's my two cents. The whole thing.
And we've been vacant with dispatchers for 2 or 3 positions for at least 2 years, have we not?
When I got here a year and a quarter ago, we were at 4.
4, and then one of them.
One was on leave.
Baby leave, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then a week into here, one left to go to the University of Oregon. The one that was on leave never came back. We then had another one go on leave. And while that one was on leave, we hired a lateral. And then the one that was on leave then never came back. Which is great. They're staying home with their kids, which is admirable, and I support that. But it just, we've the year and some time that I've been here, we've been doing nothing but hiring to try and get those, obviously the alternative is that we could get the awesome funding to hire the officers and keep dispatch. I mean, in a perfect world, and keep the jail open. If we had all that funds, but we could work on it. But I inherited a budget that was not my own. This one, there's not a lot of wiggle room in it. There's not and there's things in it that I'm still asking questions of how that got there, why it's there, what's going on, where does this money go. Trying to understand the processes that are, one of the things that we're going to talk about next is our Exxon contract and how that is all kind of messed up, and it's going to impact us as an agency for as long as we want to have body-worn cameras and the transparency with what our officers are doing every day. And so I've got to come up with solutions for that as well. But part of a lot of my answers that I can see, the things that would help us get to where we were, and unfortunately, is there's that $660,000 sitting there that could help us through a lot of problems, get us to where we can provide better services to the community that they're, like we talked about, is what they're going to actually see and feel, and at the same time provide more safety for our officers that are out there.
Mark, have either one of you talked with the officers about if you could have one or the other?
I've talked to everybody that works This isn't a secret. We, you know, I sat down with everybody, gave them an opportunity to voice their concerns. You know, a lot of them is that we are a close-knit family and they don't want to lose anybody. Sat down with all of our dispatchers who are going to be impacted the most, and you know, there's a potential that if we restructured it, we could have a support service supervisor that takes on a lot of those roles. We may have somebody that would fill that capacity for us, and then, you know, I would like to be able to do more code enforcement and maybe talk with Public Works and get. You know, they have their responsibilities to deal with, the yard debris and things in people's yards, and how about the police department take on that role and do a code enforcement officer or a CSO. We have one or two people that that would want that position. One of our dispatchers is going back to school full time and admittedly said she may not have been here more than this summer. So we may have been losing one anyway, but you know. So a lot of the things that people are saying it has to do with relationships and,
sure.
and losing your friends.
So if there was a home for everybody that wanted a home,
what was that?
If there was a home for everybody that wanted a home in the dispatch side, and you asked your officers, what do you think is more valuable, more officers, or having a part-time dispatch? What would they say?
I would probably say all of them would say more officers if nobody's losing their job.
And nothing says that you do a restructure right now, that you don't have an operational wish in 5 or 10 years where you get your dispatchers back. U of O got rid of their dispatching service back in, 2005, 2007, right around there. They're now got their whole dispatch services back because they understood what they needed in that dispatch. But at that point in time, things changed. They changed buildings. I think they moved their dispatch center away, and then they got a new building for their dispatch center. So this really sucks to talk about having to burn half the house down to save the other half of the house. But we're kind of in that point right now. It's either we let the whole thing burn or we take down part of it with the plan of putting the add-on back on there at some point in time, working towards that. So I mean, it's just, I think that's what we look at, you know, and help our people that, you know, find the code enforcement officer position, you know, find a CSO or, you know, maybe part-time evidence tech or something to that where, you know, they're still part of here, and, you know, maybe the one that's going to school, maybe they want a part-time job afterwards, whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. There's things that we can do, but.
Yeah, remember too, though, I believe that your radios in the dispatch center are probably the entire equipment package is past its service life.
Yeah,
and good. So you've probably got $500,000 there just in equipment alone to keep it going. The other thing, I'm just going to lay this on you, is these are tough decisions that are going to have to be made. But it's you and Jason that need to come forward with the recommendation. The more you talk about adding positions back, the less officers then you're going to have available because you didn't save a thing. So you got to think about that. You have to be pragmatic about this. You know, it's like if you want to add officers out on the road to offset, you can't keep creating positions. So, you know, I wish you guys the best, basically, to move this forward. We would have to move it to the council, probably as an agenda item, to talk about directing the city administrator to look at this reorganization and then ask you two to put together a formal proposal for the council. And then bring it back to the full council. I don't think we would really need to come back here again. I mean, you know how we all feel.
Yeah.
We want the best that we can possibly get for the safety of this community. And we don't like any of the choices that have to be made. So there's no enjoyment to be gained from any of that. So I know what the loss of the jail means. I know how that feels. I know what the loss of a dispatch center means. I know how that's going to feel to people. The nice thing is, under the ORS, I believe that, unless it's changed, if you contract, they automatically pick up your people. So nobody heads to the unemployment line anyway. So think of that as you are preparing, because I really would have to caution you not to add too many administrative positions, because you've gained nothing then. And the goal is to increase the number of patrol positions out on the road, responding to calls and being visible in the neighborhoods. So I guess that's all I can share.
I concur.
It's tough.
You feel like you have good...
No, that's really what I want to do. I mean, the point of this committee is to advise and to get feedback and to help us make decisions and to help us, you know, provide information to us. So, I think that the city administrator is aware that this discussion has been going on, and I think my difficulty was how do we navigate it to council, and how do we navigate it, the discussion to get there, so that way I can, instead of focusing on multiple things, I can focus on one thing and get that proposal, like you suggested, to you, and so that you guys can be as formed as you possibly can. Some of the stuff that's in front of you is just information, you know, that I went and tried to collect from all agencies that are similar in size about where we're at. You know, I have some of the information on how many administrative positions that are in there and those kind of things, but...
Well, you did right. You brought it here, you listened to each person, you kind of know where we all stand, and we're ready to support whatever it takes to give us the safest community that we can attain under the budget that we have. And so that ends up being your mission. Our mission then is to take it forward to the council. It shouldn't have to be a resolution or anything like that. It's just a matter of pulling the council, and if we all agree, then Jason says, okay, you know, we've got a mission to do, and you got a bunch of the work done already. So,
yep.
But really, you want to narrow this down to one. I don't think you need to come to the council with more than one recommendation, because we're going to go based on your professional recommendation and Jason's study of it. So,
yeah,
Jason knows the budget.
Done talking about that, probably.
All right, then we can go to the the Axon contract discussion.
So, in your package, there was a couple different quotes that Axon gave us, and then in front of you is actually a six-month contract. Because kind of background on this is that 5 years ago, the former chief came to council and said that, you know, we have this deal, we could get these things. He was probably 100%, after dealing with Axon, he probably was pressured by Axon to come at the last minute in a December type meeting and say, if you don't do this by this particular time, you're going to lose money, and therefore, because for some reason, Axon likes to do a January 1 reset with their pricing and contracts and everything else, but most public entities don't work on a January 1 timeline. So I've been working with them to try and figure out how to get a new contract that doesn't require a massive lump sum, which is the way that it was established. So the lump sum got us all of our equipment, 13 body-worn cameras, the storage, the softwares that come with it. I think Tasers was in that at the time. And then, so it's... I don't have to tell you guys, but the body-worn cameras, this is an amazing tool that protects the officers probably every day that they're out there doing their jobs. And the ability for us to protect our officers from false accusations, or even if, you know, God forbid that some one of our officers does something wrong, that we can watch it and make sure we either provide training or that person no longer has to be employed as a police officer in a different situation. But really what... the challenge that comes with the police department is that this
Contract was given to us as, and it came, started as like a $250,000 contract for 5 years. We negotiated it down to like 153, something like that. Took off some things that we didn't need or weren't currently using, added some things on that we were using. But it's still a lump sum, and so to come to council and ask for a lump sum is probably not the right thing to do right now. And it's not the way that I want to set up the police department. Moving forward is having to come to council every 5 years and say, we need a lump sum. And so what I would really like to do is get this on a, that we pay a certain amount every single year. And so that way it's budgeted in our year, every year, that we know that we're paying a certain amount for storage and equipment and everything. Granted that when that new contract comes up, obviously they're gonna raise the price because the prices of everything goes up. But instead of having to ask for $150,000 one time, you might be asking for an increase of $10,000 a year or something smaller, something that we could actually digest rather than a huge thing. So my goal would be to try and get this on an annual payment plan. We can push it out to 10 years, lock in some prices if that's what we really want to do. Right now they will replace our cameras every 2.5 years. We're due for an upgrade no matter what we do. We're due for those are right there that he's wearing is an Axon 3 camera, and the new one's out, brand new one's a 4, so we would be getting the new upgraded cameras, which have better clarity, more optical angles, so you get to see more up and down, left and right. They have options if you wanted to do that one on bike or a bulb, bill caps, those kind of things, and make it so you can see where the officer's looking. It gives us some more options, but because of the timing of all this, and with direction from kind of Jason on this, is that let's just try and get to a 6-month contract to get us till July, so when we actually have a new budget year, we can push this off. So the thing in front of you is a 6-month contract that will provide us service and storage and everything that's in front of you. So it's $13,000 is what it would cost us for six months of service.
Two questions. Is there another company out there?
There's several other companies.
So I'll come back to that. When we first started with this, did we pay a lump sum then?
Yes.
So we bought 5 years in advance?
Yep.
With software?
Yep, with software and hardware. And again, and they send us cameras every 2.5 years.
Were tasers included in this too?
Tasers aren't included in this one, but it was. I think it was in our first bundle. I think that was the deal, is that you got tasers savings with them. At the time, I think that's why there was a big push to try and do it all at once at one time. I think Taser was off, or used to be Taser, now it's Axon. Axon was offering a body worn camera Taser package, that's my belief.
Yeah.
So we don't have our Taser 7s that we're running right now. Are fine. We don't need to upgrade those. They do have a Taser 10, which has some advantages, but it's also, there's some places that will consider that a firearm. And so if we were to use it and cause some severe injuries, you could have some litigation that has to be worked out over time. And so we wouldn't be moving to a Taser 10 anytime soon.
And are they fine with the 6-month contract and 1-year contract?
They do not like this. They did not want to give us a 6-month contract. But I said, I can't do anything. We're not going to a lump sum because I don't want to get stuck to do it. If it's not me in 5 years, I'll be doing it to somebody else.
Who besides municipals do they sell to? Almost nobody, probably.
Axon,
they governments,
state
private,
troopers,
private.
That's what I'm saying. Outside of municipals or government agencies, what's their? Because every government, no, there's no government agency on a calendar fiscal.
Yeah, that's why I found it weird.
So they either are just playing, this isn't the first time they've had this conversation, today even, probably.
No, and I would agree with that assumption. I think they run this the way they run their recorded conversation, but it feels like there's some pressure tactics that are pressured in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because, like, I started this conversation with Axon four or five months ago, mainly because I was trying to get an in-car video system that matches with our Axon cameras. So I started it, and then, okay, well, hey, your contract's coming up, maybe we can merge a camera, an in-car, and so that conversation started with a different gentleman. Well, he no longer works for Axon, and then out of nowhere, a new salesman comes in and says, hey, I'm your new rep, and your contract's gonna expire January 15th, or whatever it is. And I was like, okay, so what do we need to do? And so he says, well, if you don't get it done, if you don't get it signed by before the first of the year, then you're subject to the new 2025 pricing, which is, everybody has pricing increases, I get it, but it feels a little pressured, and I was like, well, it's $100,000 more than our last contract. What are we getting? No, you're getting the exact same stuff. And I was like, well, that's $100,000 over 5 years.
What would be wrong with, I mean, first, you want a company that works good. And this, you like this company, so they work. But is there other companies that work equally as good? And if there are, then you're going to look at the price, and the price probably isn't going to be that much different. But maybe you find somebody that's actually compatible with our budget cycle and understands municipal budgets and understands those things. And if those companies are not high pressure and they understand our fiscal restraints, maybe you should look at them.
Yeah. And I think I got at this, at least I got Axon to agree that if we did this 6 month and we agreed to another one, that their renewal date will be a July 1 renewal date. But when it comes to GTAC, or there's a couple other ones out there, other couple vendors out there, just had a conversation with the chief deputy, Carl Wilkinson, at the county, and he says they have the same kind of pressure techniques with GTAC and contracts and those kinds of things. So it's, you know, part of it's government. You know, people, you know, everybody thinks that the government has some huge deep pockets, so they throw out a, I don't know how many people, you know, sorry, it's still recording, but I don't know how many agencies just sign that contract and without going through it and just pay whatever they throw off the very first time, because it is technology we need. It's technology that's important for us to do our work. The amount of time and effort that Axon can eliminate in getting our video documented evidence and our evidence.com, all that information goes to the DA's office. They all have the links and portals and everything that works just great. It kind of gets you stuck in using it. And so you go to a different vendor, and now we have our all our data that we have to work through. And so they kind of get you stuck in renewing their contract. But I'm amazed that they just throw out a new quote, and I'm sure, because it's government, that somebody somewhere sits on a desk and they sign it, and they, I don't know how it works, but, you know, because even just within, you know, a couple weeks of negotiating, we were able to get them $100,000 off their quote, and we just gave...
That isn't telling
how they're screwing you. We gave up some stuff to do that, but, you know, it just takes... So it takes some time, and I don't want to do this to the next chief, or if I'm here in 5 years, I'd come back before you or maybe somebody different, and you're sitting in your seat saying I need a big chunk of money again.
Yeah.
That's not the way we should
do it. Well, I think the other thing is if there's something that changes quicker and faster than technology, I'm all ears. But that seems like one industry that what's available. I mean, in 6 months it changes over, I mean, rapidly. To be locked into something you pay for 5 years in advance, you have no idea what's coming out next month.
Yeah.
Or next year.
But the good thing about this contract is it provides the service. So if you have a camera that breaks, what we do is we just send them the camera. They send us a brand new camera. Every two and a half years, they give us new cameras, brand new cameras. So you're getting the latest and greatest technology from that particular vendor, and they are the leading, they are the best in the industry right now. Doesn't mean it's not going to be, like you said, they may not be the best in the industry coming up, but right now they are the dominant vendor in that particular market.
Was this a discussion at the small cities? You had a chief meeting, right, for small cities. What is everybody else doing?
Some agencies appear to be going to hand-me-downs or previously used equipment. And so that's one of those discussions that we're trying to have is when they replace our cameras, do we keep the old cameras or do they want them back? Because then there's a secondary market for, and then those secondary markets would have to go find software for, you know, either just pay for the software side of it, which is a lot of what this contract is. This 6-month contract is really just maintaining software, cloud space, because all of our, and part of our, you know, I don't know how much cloud space is costing us, you know, per gigabyte or terabyte or whatever we're working at, but, you know, at some point in the history of Junction City is that we were given direction that we could never delete any video, no matter if it's accidental or, you know, whatever it is. So we store every video that is shot for eternity of the last 5 years, which we have retention laws that, and yeah, and those kind of things that apply to the video, but the police department's under the impression that we can't delete any of it. So
yeah, there's retention laws on that, and so you're paying a substantial amount of money to store that which you don't have to have.
Right.
How do we say, well, I guess we can talk about this sometime.
That would be, I think that comes down to obviously looking at the new laws and writing new policy in regards to deleting a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. There's retention laws that deal with that. And one of the things that opens up liability-wise for the police department is that if you have the video, it's discoverable. No matter what, if it's 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, but you could have deleted it. Not that we're not transparent, but you know, if somebody says, I want all video from Eric Markell for the last 5 years, you know, even though the laws have changed to say they have to limit that scope, but what if a judge says, well, we need to, that scope needs to be everything because of something that happened on one incident. And so we would have to then provide the manpower to download 5 years worth of a video, figure out the storage solution to get it to them, and we're required to provide it all. So yeah, we're stuck with a massive amount of, and you know, we bump our cameras all the time, and you know, someone clicks off a taser somewhere and it clicks off, and then so we have 45 minutes of me typing at my computer. We keep that forever.
See, and you know, and I was, I mean, they went to a body camera my last year, and so I was still learning it, but that system had, as soon as you coded that, whatever your stuff was, you coded it to a traffic stop, it had a day counter on it. It was 365 days. At 366 days, it automatically deleted.
Ours has that too.
So
we just, it's set up to never delete, so
yeah,
but it has automatic deletion things, and the way Axon does it, I'm sure GTAC had the same, because that was the vendor that county uses. I'm sure that has the same thing, is that it would, when it's, let's say you have 10 videos that are set to delete, it will send you that information, says here's your 10 videos to delete, and then somebody, an admin, would look at that video and go, okay, well, I want that one a little bit longer, because, or I now view that video and go, it's just a traffic stop. But, and then we can keep it for another 30 days or 90 days or set another retention period on it, or we let it delete and we no longer delete it. But it's set by, retention periods are set based on statutes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we can't afford to store everything forever, so that has to be fixed.
No, I feel sorry for whoever's going to have to go through all that and undo all of it. Good luck, Eric. When's retirement?
So yeah, as soon as, you know,
maybe
some
not
point,
soon enough.
So it's under the $15,000 or under the threshold. So the plan would be just that, you know, a council for this is just to come in and advise us, this is what we're going to try and do for 6 months with the idea that we're going to try and fix our long-term solution by finding the money in the budget to pay for this annually.
Yeah, but are you going to be requesting, permission to sign a contract? That's probably what's coming at us, right? Because the amount's small. What's the cutoff for a department head now? What can they pay?
Well, Jason would probably do it. I think I'm at 10. I think he's, what, there was something new to change. Was he at 25 now? I don't know what it is.
No, I don't know about that. But still to sign a contract. Actually, I don't think the dollar amount's small.
No, statutorily it changed. Statutorily it changed. Carrie came to a meeting at one point, whatever.
But the bottom line is somebody needs to sign a contract with them for 6 months.
Yes.
So that's what's going to be coming before the council.
Yeah, and I think Jason told me is that just to let you guys know that it would be coming
as
basically just an informational thing.
Right.
Good
work.
Yeah.
Really.
I don't know what the next one's going to be, but at least we punt that down the road for 6 months and.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Have some time to think about it.
And get a plan in place, because without having budget talks come in January, but we're supposed to have decisions before January. Mm-hmm. It just puts us in a spot, and I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
It's not fair to you guys either.
No, thanks for whoever. I think both of you were there talking to him and negotiating, figuring out what you needed, what you didn't need. Because right now every little bit helps. All right, anything more on the Axon?
No.
All right, we'll start with Sid for committee member comments.
Just have fun at the parade this weekend.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, Friday night?
No, that's, what, Friday night?
Yeah. Yeah, parade.
That's all I got.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Bud?
I'm good.
All right. I'm good too. I was gonna like Eric. Whoa, do you have anything? All right. I'm gonna throw it out. Any last comments for?
No, I think that this is a discussion that has to be made. I mean, rip the Band-Aid off and let's get busy here. Yeah, I agree.
All right. Any last comments before we go to the agenda forecast?
I'm trying to do coffee with the cops on Monday morning.
Oh.
So the plan would be from 8 to 9 a.m. at Max Porter's. I haven't worked it out with Max Porter's yet, so they may not know. So I'm going to go talk to them in the morning and say, hey, I don't know. So we'll have a couple cops there, just people that come out and say hi to and sit down and have conversations if we need to. So you might see something out on social media tomorrow on that. So come down and say hi on Monday. So I can't think of anything else.
I didn't see the agenda forecaster in here.
It's probably not it.
But, okay.
Is there anything you guys want to see on it so I can add it?
I don't know, because I don't know what's on it. If anybody has anything, throw it out there. Going once, going twice. All right, then.
Yeah.
I think so. We'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 7:39.